Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and with all the optimism and euphoria from the victory over Watford last week, it came crashing down to earth last Saturday against Brentford. Many people expecting a win, and unfortunately it turned out to be quite the opposite, with the performance not being what anyone was expecting. So this week I had the usual suspects together to discuss the dreaded match and the day in general. I hope you enjoy it.
Can you hear me, Tony?
Oh, you can indeed, sir. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Paul has just joined us there now.
Hey, Paul.
Looks like he has the laptop this week.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not that phone sitting upside down.
I was getting dizzy looking at you. Tony said he'd be with us. I got nothing from Gary at all. I sent him the link and all that, but I didn't get a reply to if he was around or anything. So consider looking at the head on him on Saturday, he probably hasn't recovered yet.
And that's he was staying for the second. You didn't see him on the following day, Paul, did you?
No, not after we all left. And didn't see him. He was suffering a bit on Saturday.
That's staying in anyway, Mick.
I was going to say to you stayed out. You just went straight to the Red Wings. Did you pause or just
we put yeah, down on that? No, we did. We went from there to Red Wings and then went out to the Crown for something to eat. So it wasn't so good on Sunday morning, but it was good.
No yeah. Problems at the airport.
No, I was on 12 o'clock flight. Those boys stayed on before, gluttons for punishment. So I was up and away. They were having a beer on Sunday. I don't know how. Was glad to get home.
Yeah, I thought a couple of the later Saturday night, particularly Billy, I think, looked like he was starting to take its toll on him.
Anyway. Well, it definitely was, without a doubt. But oh well, I think the day trips from now on. It might be longer, at least Sunday morning. Don't feel like a heap of shit.
I know. No matter what you say, never again. You always seem to go home with a power now, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well,
I
had my usual cure yesterday, make a 3 matches in Dunboyne. So.
Oh sure. Is there any with all the money you make out of them? Is there any wonder you're able to have an old family home or what they call it, a holiday home?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. That just remind Rasher. Yeah. Had to keep reminding now and again. At the start on Saturday morning, anyway, for a change, we didn't have any problems getting from Dublin, and you're the same, Paul, from Belfast, I suppose, getting to Wolverhampton. Okay. Look, we met in the airport. The monorail was working again, but the problem seemed to start for us when we got to Wolverhampton trying to get something to eat.
Yeah, well, I didn't bother. I went for a walk and let you guys work away at a bowl of porridge in the plane and thought, I'll wait till later. Use it a bit of a nightmare from what I can gather.
Oh, we went into Witherspoon's, the usual, and couldn't get a table in the place. You know, it was only 3 hours before kickoff, so everyone was getting in early. But we were walking down, the Hog's Head was closed, Royal London, everywhere where it seemed to be closed, and then we bumped into the Bell John McGee, and John steered us down to, what was the name of that place, Mick? The Baguette?
Baccarat or something. Yeah. Something.
Yeah, so we went in, then he gave your man the thumbs up and said, look after these lads, you know. So he did. Got a great breakfast in it. It must be a new place. I've never been there before. Never seen it before.
Yeah.
So,
it's one for the future.
Hey, Gary.
And it was decent enough breakfast.
Yeah.
He's alive.
And reason, there was a fair amount on it, you know. Well, it was fair chat for whatever we got, you know.
So we had to...
Good night,
man. We had to repay John's favour then by heading down to... McGee's for the couple before the game.
We didn't Saturday night, apparently.
Well, it's nice to see. It's funny, as soon as I mention McGee's and a ghost appears on the screen here.
Gary, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like a ghost on Saturday morning, I can tell you.
Yeah.
You look shit out, right, Gary? That's putting it nicely.
Nothing like being sulky.
Self-inflicted, yeah.
Yeah, but we I suppose the lounge itself was a kind of quiet affair. There was a good few there, but there was no talking. Mel Eves went around and shook hands with everyone, and that was it, really. There was no speech, no stories. So
Well, anyway. I couldn't fucking talk after after I bought a drink. I bought 3 pints, right? A bottle of Coke and a bottle of Fanta, and it was like 26 quid.
Yeah.
Was it?
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that yesterday, Gary, because I bought a pint and 4 bottles, and I think it was 25 quid or 21 quid.
The bottle of Carling was 5.50, and from what I can tell, the pint, the draft in the plastic glass was 6 fucking quid.
Yeah. Well, that'll be the last time. That'll be the last time there.
Well, it'll be the last time paying for a drink. I mean, you don't mind going there, but Christ, you're getting fleeced if you go in. That's if you drink.
Which we do.
Which we do, yeah. Well, I mean, I'd say there's a lot of people don't, having been, you know, the fella that was in front of me in the queue, he got 2 bottles of Carling, and it was 11 quid. And I said to him, like, when the barman was looking the other way, did he say 11 quid? He said, yeah. And the guy's fucking tongue was on the floor, like, you know, he was like, Jesus.
Jesus, you could have went up the old lane up there and you could have got screwed for less.
Edit that out.
Mick, hold on.
I never thought of that.
Hold on a sec. He was in a bad enough condition there without the
other.
To finish him off.
He's no good, the man or beast. Look at him and the water.
Whatever bit of life I had left in me, it wouldn't have been much good up the laneway, I'll tell you.
Anyway, I think that. I think that brings us nicely onto when talking about being shagged, Mick, brings us onto the match itself. Not a good day.
I'll just, like, from my point of view, I thought one of the things was, you know, there was an air of complacency about the place. Like, it was, I'd say there wasn't a man or beast anywhere in the vicinity that didn't expect Wolves to win. And I think my only view is that even the players had actually convinced themselves that that was going to be the case. And then really it was further reinforced by the first 15 to 20 minutes when it looked like it was only a matter of time before we were going to score a goal. But you could sense with every minute that we didn't score a goal, how Brentford was starting to, you know, to calm down a bit and start to put foot in the ball and keep the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, as away performances go, like, you know, if we did that, well, I you know, you wouldn't be proud of that time wasting, like, but that's, you know, if you got 3 points the way you did in your first season, you know, you'd take it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about this earlier. I chatted to the guy next to me where I was sitting in the North Bank, and I don't know whether it was, I think Gary's right, we started off quite good, but we weren't pressing them. Or we weren't pressing them as much as we would have been pressing in the last three games. And I don't know whether it was part of the plan, if there was a plan, not to high press, because maybe they thought that Brentford would just dink it over the top and hit it on to Ivan Toney and the other guy, Mbeumo, or whatever his name is. So I don't know whether that was the plan. Certainly we were nowhere near aggressive enough. A lot of the 50-50s, we just weren't getting anywhere near.
Yeah.
15, 20 minutes, you could just see it starting to turn a little bit. And then they got a couple of chances. And we could have been 4-0 down by halftime. There was two goals disallowed. I didn't watch it back on Sunday. Didn't have the heart. So the second half, I don't know. We just kept throwing on more and more strikers. Went from a back five to a back two. I know we had to push on and try and get the goal, but we just didn't seem to. Every ball was lumped into the box. They had two really tall centre backs,
yeah,
just clearing everything. Anytime we got a chance, you know, Jimenez was just not putting them. I think we had one clear chance. He just didn't put it anywhere near the goal. So I don't know. We just not seem to be. We don't seem to be. You're not going to win a game if you're not going to score. And we just looked a long way off scoring.
Yeah. Paul, what was your view on it?
I don't know. They were nearly like Burnley in white jerseys. We seemed to struggle against physical teams. And they were up for it and we weren't. As Tony said, at the back, Iyer and Janssen just gave us nothing.
Yeah.
Tony tortured Cody and Kilman, pulled them apart. When they sucked up the first 15 minutes of pressure and decided to step up themselves and gamble a little bit, they really put us under the whip. And as much as we what 60 or 62% possession, we hadn't won. Only shot on target we had was what was an offside. And the team fell apart. Mm-hmm. And when it falls apart and you freeze frame, Matinho and Neves just get deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
And that's always a time when we're at our worst because they get steamrolled. And, you know, I mean, the goal, everybody gave Kilman a hard time. The big man's had a great start to the season. Yeah. The only thing he didn't do is put the ball in Roo's head, because he did get a cheer when he collected it in between his 2 feet. But it was what happened afterwards,
yeah,
when Mbembo, or whatever his name is, was able to just ghost in between Saïss and Marcel.
Yeah.
Like an under 16 match and tap it in. It was diabolical.
Yeah.
And we never really recovered after that, did we?
No, we never looked. We just didn't recover
and we run out of ideas. And
yeah,
Jimenez was frustrated, threw his head guard off. Maybe that's a catalyst for something else. But
yeah,
we, as Tony says, you don't score goals, you don't win matches. And at the minute, it's just where are the goals going to come from?
Yeah. Michael?
Well, I had a look back at it and, be honest with you, looking at it again, quite what the lad said, we started fairly brightly the first 15, 20 minutes. They then got a bit of a foothold in the game. And then the whole change of the match, because you have over half an hour gone, and we probably had the better chances than what they had. But you cannot defend corners the way we defended that one. And I was down the other end of the pitch, and, you know, on the first corner, I just said to the lad next to me, we got away with it. I says, you know, that could have been easy a penalty from where I am here.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise they're in 30 seconds, identical again.
Yeah.
You know, what in the name of God has them lining up far deep, pulling and poking at one another?
Mm.
Basically, that's where you come in, and I don't care what anyone says, where you do your zonal mark and you don't have all that shit going on. And it was only a matter of time. Look, he wrestled into the ground. There was no doubt it was a fucking penalty. Once they got that goal, they got the up. And then the game, again, I thought it was still fairly even, Stephen. And then we had that decision, bad decision by the young fella. He has been playing very well, but it was a horrendous mistake he made. But after he made the mistake, you know, and then it went down. Cody should have went down. So he's got caught because Cody made the point of moving out there, and he stopped. He should, if he got closer, that ball would never have come in.
Yeah.
But he stopped. And when Saïss knew, Marshall should have covered him. And he was standing looking at what was going on. And the ball ends up in the back there. So we're two down. So straight away, we had a mountain to climb.
Yeah.
And they were up. They had the two goal. And the way they were setting up from the back, they were solid. They were playing, you know, so tight, so deep. We were always going to find it difficult to penetrate what they were up to. And we started this arguing and moaning about everything. And that really pissed me off, because there was no point in moaning. We got ourselves in the situation we were in. And the only way to get it through was to get stuck into them.
Yeah.
Now, I did think coming to half-time that the problem we had, they were out physically knocking us about. And I would have took you to Moutinho off. That's what I would, at half-time. But I made two changes. I took Marshall out and I took Moutinho off and put in Dendonka, because we needed someone with a bit of physicality. Now, what did we do? What happened at half-time alarmed me tremendously. I listened during the week to Bruno Lage on about to get a little bit, we need to get a bit more nastier, okay? Now, the two lads who was causing us the problems in the first half was Bueno and Tony.
Tony, yeah.
Now, one man went down and he smacked both of them in 6 seconds. I left both of them on the ground and took a booking with Saïss. And what did he do at half-time? He took him fucking off.
Yeah.
He took him off the physicality. And then he goes, instead of making one change or two, one or two changes, he changed the whole defence around.
Yeah.
I thought it was absolutely crazy, because the game at that time, like after looking at it again, it was still there to be. When we were down in many a game, we were down 2-0 against City and come back at half-time, after half-time,
yeah,
and beat. We do the same against Spurs. You know what I mean? So it is, yeah, there to come back. But I just thought there was no shape, no making what we're about in the second half. And then to see us running around with two men at the back, it looked like something that you'd see a coach doing up in Phoenix Park.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was my thinking. Yeah. And I said, where are we going? To me, Marshall was having a bit like the other boy, Kilman. He was having a very, very good season so far. And he had a nightmare in the first half. Now, it's straight swapped there with Aidan Nouri. And Aidan Nouri and the other chap there, Triangle, my opinion, on the left side, could have caused them more problems, because when you get a compact team like that, the only way, you've got to get down the size of them.
Yeah.
But we couldn't get, early on in the second half, we couldn't get the ball. Never, they couldn't get the ball to Traore, because he was lying too far behind him. He wasn't showing for them. But we should have went to a five in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
And had to put the one in front and got down the wings. Because when you say, when Traore lay in the match and he can come on, the danger was when them lads that got behind their defence. And we didn't do it often enough, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the frustration. But to end up daily with 7-8 bloody defender or attackers on the pitch, it smacked of desperation. And what alarmed me was, we're to having 4.5. We're to go to 4.5 game where we'd be excellent, right?
Yeah.
And playing the system we play. And we know well enough, the players we have, they cannot play the 4 at the back.
Yeah.
Simple as that. So after having these lads out training for the last number of weeks over the whole lot, playing one system, all of a sudden, after 20 minutes of a bad first half, he changed the whole fucking thing around. And that, to me, that's sending wrong signals. And I would not be surprised if it comes out that there's a major bust up in that dressing room at half time. You know what I mean? I cannot fathom how he could take, when we need the physicality, he took the man off the pitch. That is the booking. Now, people would say, he didn't want them getting sent off. But let's hang on here. Soyuz has been 5 years. How many times has Soyuz been sent off for us? And he has got a lot of bookings. But I guarantee you that over half the bookings he's got, he's taken them because someone else has dropped the bollocks on the pitch.
Yeah.
And he took someone out. And he took them off. We didn't even, the dog didn't even get a run. Now, it's for physicality we needed to start hitting those. But they were smaller players.
Do you think... Do you think Lager decided at half-time that, you know, there was nothing to lose and just shuffle the cards and just... Because it was a bit... It didn't look like a plan. It looked like kind of throwing the dice and gambling, hoping for the best, you know? That's what
I disagree a lot with a lot of what Mick says there. It's good, you know, it's a game of opinions, and it's good that we all have our own. I'm in the camp that says plan A didn't work in the first half. It's fine against the teams, the Spurs and the Uniteds and the Leicesters, who will come out and play you, and away to Watford because the home team will come out of it. But they weren't going anywhere, and plan A didn't work. And what did he do? And from a guy that, as we understand, wants to play 4 at the back. Here was his opportunity to do that. Take off a guy that's been booked once already, go to 4 at the back and give it a go. And even right then, okay, you're 4 at the back. Then he takes Marcel off. Then he takes Semedo off. And I was saying, you know, we were laughing and we've gone 2-4-4. But it literally, at the end, it was 2-2-6. And, it sounds a bit schoolboyish, you know, but he threw the kitchen sink at it. So is that wrong? That's what we understand his modus operandi can be.
What I'd be saying, though, Gary, is, I don't think a guy in a yellow card, it's an occupational hazard for a defender anyway, that you should change your whole team based on one guy with a yellow card. I mean, I'd be more inclined to look at the players individually and their form. And if there was one player in the back three that should have gone at half time, it was Kilman. Because I thought he's been excellent so far this season. But watching him on the Steve Bull side in the first half, every time he got the ball, he wanted to turn back onto his left foot. And there was nothing happening down that wing through Kilman. It was all going into Cody, or into Moutinho and Neves, and then onto Trincao, which there was no flow on that side. So I think
playing a left-footed player on right side of the back three isn't a great idea, and that's what caused that second goal.
But it hasn't seemed to affect them.
He played in that position against Manchester United. He played in that position against Spurs. He played in that position against Leicester City. Okay, so I don't go with that. We looked a sham in the second half. There was no act of what was going on. I go back to what I said was, we need the physicality. And he took the man with physicality off the pitch. And the only man he took off the pitch is the only man that plays regularly for his country as the captain and centre-half in a 4-4-2. And that was... So it did not make sense to me. And I still say, we probably will find that there was a blow-up at half-time. Because if there was no blow-up at half-time, I cannot fathom how you could make a decision. Now, and I'll go back to what I say. You could throw the kitchen sink, but you still got to protect yourself. You don't give away a third goal.
We didn't give away a third goal.
I know, but it wasn't for the ones who are not trying.
Yeah. Tony?
I don't know. You might be right, Mick. I didn't even know Saez got booked, but I just thought it was odd that he took him off when Marcel and Kilman had worse first halves.
He cut about him. If you have a look at it again, he cut about him. And where he cut about him was halfway between us and halfway inside their half. He cut about him in 5 seconds. He went to the two of them and he got booked for the second one. And he left both of them in the ground in agony. And that's what we needed. You know what I mean? We had let them knock us about up to that. Yeah.
What about Saez's performance for the second goal? Absolutely terrible. Like he saw Bueno coming on his left shoulder and he just totally lost and left him go totally free. And Gary, I mean, it was really poor.
What I said to you, what happened was when your man got by Kilman on the wing, Cody went out to do it. So if Saez had to go cover Cody, because there was three at the back, he had to go and cover Cody, and then Cody stopped. Cody was the man, should have closed that ball coming in. But when Saez moved to cover Cody, Marcel, he let your man in behind him.
Yeah.
He should have been covered. That's the way your defence worked, you know.
I think for that goal, the blame has to go to Kilman, because he made the decision that he was going to win the ball and come out with it, and he didn't. Yeah. He lost it. Everybody was on the front foot because they said, yeah, Kilman's getting this ball. And the ball popped up. Tony had 20 yards, 25 yards of a clear run on goal. At that stage, it was gone from the front foot, backpedalling. And there's never going to be a good outcome from that situation.
But I tell you, what we should do too, we have to give a bit of credit to Brentford, because they obviously tagged certain players and went at them. And Kilman was one of them. You know what I mean? And in fairness, he didn't get a lot of cover. Look, we could be critical of Marcel's performance on Saturday in the first half and the young fella, but they've had a couple of very, very good games up to that. You know what I mean? They certainly were an improvement. It's not trying to slay anyone, but I just, even to now, I cannot fathom is that when a team was out physically, that you take the most physical player you have off. I just couldn't understand that. Well, I would have thought that we should have.
Yeah, it reminded me, I said it on Saturday after, and even going through the game, it reminded me of 3 years ago when we played Watford, and we were on a good run at that stage, and like that, we were expecting to win, and exactly the same, Watford scored 2 goals in the first half, they could have had more, and we just lost it completely, we didn't know what to do, and that's my question now, is Saturday, where all the expectation is there after 3 tough games and away win, and then coming along on Saturday, everyone's expecting, as Gary said earlier, everyone's expecting a nice cosy little 1 or 2 nil win. I mean, is it a blip, or what do you think?
I think, you know, personally, they said they're still out early on. Ivan Tony causes that many problems of any change.
Yeah.
Bully should have been coming in even in the second half, even after 60 minutes. You know, he was ripping them on your backside. And when he did get the ball, he held the ball up for his teammates to break forward in the possession and cause us. He was the guy that caused us the most problems. You know, we're not scoring goals, but they did a good defensive job. But we always seem to struggle against physicality. 4-0 against Burnley last year. You know, Watford, you know, when Troy Deeney was there, I mentioned him before. When we get teams that are prepared to mix it with us, big, strong, physical teams, we really struggle badly. Cody's never going to get dropped while he's a captain. He looked like a championship player against an England international on Saturday.
What is it?
Yeah, we didn't win a header. We hardly won a header in the whole game, did we?
That's true, Gary. That's what I'm saying. I was surprised. Like the lad he took off, but also why he didn't bring on Tendonka. We those lads were winning the balls in the air in the middle of the park, and we're getting the flick-ons. And
ballerina, that fella Tony. I've never seen a guy jump and stay in the air so long.
Yeah,
I've never been to ballet, but anyway, I'll take your word.
I couldn't imagine you in a 2-2, Mick. Now, to be honest, yeah.
No.
Only a 2-2 draw, maybe.
I still feel that Kilman in the first half, right? You're right. He did try. If he was right footed, he'd have put the ball up into Rosehead in Steve Ball, but he's left footed.
Yeah.
So he did get the ball cleanly. He brought it round, but when your body's sliding, that moment he hit his other leg and bobbled up and perfect for Tony. It's hard to say that he made an absolute. No, it worked out that way, but he did what he thought was right there, and he thought he was going to come away with the ball. It just didn't quite work out. I think he's hard to say that Kilman was.
Surely, though, Gary, at that level, you can't put a ball out of play with either foot or something badly wrong. I mean, you get the basics right and the rest comes after it. I mean, he's a Premier League footballer. I mean, if he hasn't got two, he doesn't have to have two great feet, he has to have two good feet.
No, but I think the modern coaching is not to put the necessary. Yeah, you have to at times, but if you can keep the ball in and get that ball and play it out, that's what you're trying to do. Yeah. It didn't work, and that's a fact, all right. You know?
I was just thinking overall, when I was saying earlier, was that he was fine in the previous four matches, but for some reason, you know, and he's playing on the right hand side the whole time, but for some reason on Saturday, he just didn't seem to be right. He didn't seem comfortable.
He was targeted. He was targeted on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that's you know, coming to the young lads. As you said, Tony, there, and you were dead right. Just before the kickoff, they put it up on the screen.
Yeah.
Their manager, and he knew straight away what he was going at, and it was to stop the supply to
Traore, Trinco,
and the other lad, and Trinco, and they done that quite well. And the only way we should have got out with that was to drop the two lads back and go with five in the middle. Once the way it was working, and you come from deep, and you're coming to your five lads there, able to break from deep. And as Paul was saying there a while ago, Tony was able to hold the ball up, but by Jesus, their lads really flew from the midfield when they got the opportunity to support. They came quick, and that's basically because they were actually playing with one up front.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they did target Kilman. Like, you've seen that, and they targeted what they thought were our weak, and they got joy. And that in that sense, you've got to hand it to them. But like other stuff, the worst decision, the referee had lost control of the game, but the worst decision on the match was when he stopped the ball for their fella who went down, and looking at it, there was no one anywhere near him. He just went down on the ground.
Yeah.
And he stopped it when we were on the attack. And that was frustrating for not only the fans, but for players. And I can understand. That fella, you know, he should never get another second game.
Yeah. Well, that player actually, we took the throw in, and when the player saw the game was going on, he got up off the ground, and the referee blew the whistle, and then your man just got back down the ground again. But there was several of those incidents. But all they did was...
Did you see that stat today? The match was 99 minutes between injury time first and second, right? 99 minutes. And the ball was in play 50 minutes and 10 seconds.
Yeah.
50.
You know, I think it was 50, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it didn't surprise me, Gary, and it wouldn't surprise yourselves that was at the match. You know, the amount of time wasted. But that, a lot of that was down to the referee.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the goalkeeper changing his gloves, that's a new one for me, you know. The goalkeeper that actually didn't have anything to do.
5 minutes.
Yeah, you know.
But, 5 minutes after half-time as well, you know.
Yeah, but just, lads, for the last few minutes we have, looking ahead, like, is the game on Wednesday coming at a perfect time for us to try and kind of get everything back in order? Or are we going to use, maybe give Bolly a run, Pudence and Silva and Huang, maybe give them a go, or try and get
You have to get them up to speed, because those players shouldn't be all coming in contention for next Saturday. That's my opinion on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, Bolly has to come in, for sure. I'd like to see the Korean start instead of Jimenez up the middle. Pudence has to start instead of Trincao.
I would keep Pudence in there, but I keep Trincao in there. I'd take
Jimenez. Priori. And Jimenez, give him a break.
Now, I'll tell you something now. Jimenez hadn't had it. I would actually try and keep Jimenez. I'll tell you why. When I seen him and he fucking losing and he threw that thing on the ground, he was frustrated big time. And that might just give him the go that, you know, he'd probably go through a brick wall next time for the next game, because he was incensed in that game. It's just things I see there. But I certainly would keep Trincao, and I'd keep the other fella Pudence in there, but I certainly would take Traore out.
Yeah, probably needs a break as well, yeah. Yeah, but it do you think it'll be a good game for us to try and get back on track anyway, and with Sunday in mind?
I think because of who it is and what it is, Carabao Cup goes out the window. It's payback, and we need to win this one.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
They're under a bit of pressure now as well, Spurs, after yesterday.
That's true.
They did play high press against Nuno's normal tactics for 20 minutes, didn't work, and then went back to the usual the usual style. And is it a coincidence that they're not scoring goals? He put the basis of our team together, and we don't score goals, and now he's at Spurs and they don't score goals.
Yeah, well, what are the 3-1-0 wins, and now he's at what, 2-3-0 defeats? So
I mean, I laughed at the fan zone on Saturday just before you go, but people were predicting 4-5-0. Yeah. I think the last time we scored 4 goals was against Leicester 2 years ago.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
In the league. So I don't know what matches these people are watching.
Yeah. I agree with you, Paul. None of these games are easy.
No.
And that, like, I don't not predict a score in the game, or I'd be happy with a 1-0 win in these games, because it doesn't matter who you're playing. They have a right, you know, to go out there. We didn't like what they done on Saturday, but let's look for the away game. We played them away. Let's have a go and, you know, rain on their party, as the fella says. We're up there.
What I did see yesterday was on one of the Wolves forums was saying that we're going down, you know, and I got a few hundred people responding to it, which just shows you. Now, I have to say, looking at it from our point of view, I thought the picture on Saturday at the outside the Leaping Wolf, and Paul put it up on Facebook, and somebody commented, it was Noel McKillen, I think, put up, that must have been before the game, the fact that we were all in good form. But I mean, as I said, you can't let a game dictate your humour for a day. I won't even say where we'd be, but you can imagine.
Wolves fans, was bad enough at that, and then meeting the fucking Villa fans in the fucking airport after the 3-0 win.
Yeah. It'll all come good for us, Mick. Don't worry. It'll all come good. We'll be on a plane in the next few weeks where they'll have all lost and we'll have won, you know.
Oh, yeah. We might end the cup final. Carabao cup final. You wouldn't know.
You never know. Listen, we're on the last few seconds, so thanks a million. And
right.
We'll see you all. See you, Mick, Tony. See you on Wednesday.
Yeah. And,
Gary, Paul, we'll see you in the next week or
gluttons.
So.
We're gluttons for punishment.
Yeah.
we're leaving Gary Boyle anyway. How you doing?
Yeah, definitely. Right. Listen, we'll see you. I'm going right.
Right, okay.
Take care, lads.
All the best.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website, or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.